Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour number two. Quite a pleasure to host this show. Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Good to be here today. Well, a lot of stuff going on. The Andy Reid next hour. So, Joy worked in Miami. I have not. I've visited many times, a fine city. And there's a sense that we are anti-Tua. We are not. What we say is he's got a ceiling, and in that division with Josh Allen and the best football coach ever, ceilings are not your ally. And a story came out. All the Yap Yap fanboys in Miami got real quiet over the weekend when the Deshaun Watson trade rumors came out.
Well, they might have gone quiet for you, but I was getting texts asking what was going on.
Okay, so you're telling me Tua is great. Your own team doesn't think he's great. Okay, you going to come to terms with that? The Yap Yap boys in Miami? Your own team went after him. Now, they're not going to sign him right now, because it's leaked, it's bad for the locker room. Brian Flores came out yesterday and said, hey, we're going to go with Tua, which I'm fine with. You can win a bunch of games with Tua. He and Mac Jones are very similar. Is that I think the ceiling's low, but they're accurate throwers of the football, really coachable guys, went to the same college program. Saban loved both of them.
You also invested a lot in Tua.
Yes.
So you owe it to your organization to see what you have in him.
Run it back this year.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to play a game, Tua or Hua. So Joy will ask me, little game show here, you'll ask me who I would pick for the next 3 years, because Tua's got 3 years in his contract. So for the next 3 years, who would I take and why?
Tua.
Just to prove that I don't hate Tua.
Tua or Cam Newton?
Next 3 years, I'd take Tua. Cam's on the decline. And I think you have to kind of have a certain offense for Cam that plays up to his running ability. I think there's more versatility with Tua over the next 3 years.
Tua or Mac Jones?
Mac Jones has a healthier body than Tua. He was more accurate at Alabama. And so a little bit bigger. I think he's got a little bit better arm. I'd probably take Mac.
Tua or Zach Wilson?
It was also surprised people. I would take Tua. Now, you said the next 3 years.
Yes.
I think Zach Wilson's ceiling is higher, but the Jets are a mess. And so I don't think we're going to see the best of Zach Wilson. I think we're going to see Zach Wilson for the next 3 years in a rebuild with a coach we're not sure can coach and an owner that's impetuous and impatient.
Tua or Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow. Burrow is much more capable of throwing the ball down the field. I think Burrow's a better athlete. I mean, let's be honest about this. Burrow, behind a bad offensive line, had 300-plus yards passing 5 of his 10 starts as a rookie. So Burrow's going to throw the ball down the field. I like that.
Tua or Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield's a better quarterback. Last year he had a competent coach. His passer rating was 95. Say what you want about Baker Mayfield. He's got an all-star team offensively, and he's more than capable. The minute Stefanski said, we're not going to ask you to throw it 40 times. We're going to play within a system. Baker was really good.
Tua or Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz, a much better athlete. Bigger, stronger, faster. Before last year, Wentz had 3 seasons of 20-plus touchdown passes and 90-plus passer rating. Carson Wentz, who drives me nuts with his COVID beliefs, is a big-time athlete who got sideways last year mentally, and Frank Reich, I think, will get him back on track. But you're talking about different level athlete.
Tua or Trevor Lawrence, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not close. Trevor Lawrence, to me, is a generational prospect. There's nothing he doesn't do better than Tua.
Tua or Teddy Bridgewater?
Tua. Teddy had that. I think Tua's got a little better arm. Teddy now is viewed sort of – Teddy is 4-11 in his last 15 starts. And Matt Rhule, who's a really good offensive coach, is like, yeah, I'm going to go with Sam Darnold. I think Tua's got a little more juice to his game, a little more juice than Teddy.
Tua or Justin Herbert?
Not close. I mean, just look at the picture of Herbert. He's 6'5", runs, huge arm.
Well, they were also in the same draft class, and
yeah,
Justin was offensive rookie
of the year. Let's not kid yourself here. People are not – because the Chargers don't have a huge national profile. What Herbert did behind the worst rated offensive line is I'm not sure anybody but Mahomes could do it. And I'm not sure Patrick could. The kid broke every record behind a coach that's been fired and an offensive line that has been three new starters this year.
Tua or Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones, he's a bigger player, faster. Now, he's got a turnover issue, but I will say this. Daniel Jones throws a beautiful deep ball. In fact, he had the highest passer rating in the league last year. That includes Mahomes, Josh Allen, of balls thrown over 20 yards. So Daniel Jones throws and he's got some deep threats now. Daniel throws the ball downfield. Tua tends not to.
Tua or Justin Fields?
Justin Fields is just, I just think he's bigger, stronger, faster. That's Jalen Hurts.
I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. Jalen Hurts.
Now, I would take two over Jalen Hurts. I think he's just a more natural thrower of the football. My question about Jalen Hurts is, it looks like he completed 52% of his throws, which was the lowest for quarterbacks that had 100-plus attempts. So with Jalen, I've always felt, even if you set things up, it's an inartistic. He's not a natural, easy thrower of the football. Tua, to me, is a better just thrower of the football. You give Tua time, he can make throws.
He's very accurate.
Yeah, he's an accurate thrower. Hurts, to me, it always feels like a struggle for the basic 12, 15-yard passes.
Now Justin Fields.
Yeah, Fields is not only a bigger, stronger athlete, but Fields has been hurt in his career and played through it. I think they're different players. I think one guy is all athleticism and sometimes can sometimes be a little inaccurate. I think the other guy's accurate, but I question the size and the arm and the athleticism.
Tua or Jared Goff?
I think Tua's situation's better for the next 3 years. So Tua will win more games and complete more passes the next 3 years. Better O-line too.
Tua or Sam Darnold?
Come on, people. You're just trying to tease me. It's Sam Darnold. Sam's going to have a very good year. Sam's bigger, stronger. Sam is a playmaker. Tua's not a playmaker. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to win a lot of games this year, but Darnold's got – just do your homework on this. Darnold's got his best supporting cast. Offensively, Carolina's got elite wide receiver running back weapons. They're going to score points this year. Watch them. And he's just a bigger, stronger player.
Tua or Trey Lance?
Trey Lance. It feels like Justin Fields. Trey just needs snaps. So who did I have Tua better than? I had Tua better than
Cam, Zach Wilson,
Bridgewater,
Hurts, and Goff. I would definitely take Tua over Wentz at this point for the next 3 years.
You eye-rolled
and
me.
Daniel Jones. And Sam Darnold.
Well, that's a very controversial take. This is what this show does. It's just controversy at every turn.
I do think it was the right move for the Dolphins to, at this point, stay with Tua.
Yeah, today. I do not believe Jeff Darlington's a guy I respect. He said, it's not done. It's just done now.
What needs to be? You put everything behind him this season, and he's a young quarterback. Put everything behind him. That was my issue with him last year. Give him the team. Let him rise and fall and see what you have in him.
We all do this. We're going to make purchases. Now's not the right time. Right? You're not sure if you're going to have your job. You're changing your life. I think Deshaun Watson, Miami, feels right, just not now. Now, again, trading deadline 8 weeks in, you're 4-4, it's not going well. Then I think he's back on. But today, I think, I honestly, Brian Flores just said, he's our guy. I think that's the move you got to make today. I don't hate Tua. I think there's a low ceiling. It's not, your own team went after somebody, so slow down. That's why I'm calling them. I'm calling them the Yap Yap fanboys. The Yap Yap.
I'm going to get killed.
Mark Slare with Fox Sports, 3 Super Bowl rings, joins us live. So you tell me, Mac Jones, rookie. It's a good offensive line. They got really good run production, great coach defense. Did you ever play with a rookie quarterback or somebody that's very young? And as an offensive lineman, how did you adjust? What was it like? The huddle, the tempo. What should New England fans expect from Mac Jones?
Well, I think what you see Mac Jones, I mean, what you've seen in preseason so far, and we all know the preseason is not the regular season, but what you've seen so far is speed of decision making, right? There's no hesitation. There is no kind of almost processing. You see what you see, you know what you see, and then you just absolutely pull the trigger and you let it roll. And I think that's the thing. Like, we all can get on a grease board, Colin, and draw up the formation, and you can draw up the defense and stuff. But when it comes to playing quarterback, or when it comes to playing at all in the National Football League, you just have to know it. It's almost one of those innate things that I was talking to our colleague, Joel Klatt, and he likened it to driving a car. You know, have you ever driven your car to work and all of a sudden you're in the parking lot and you realize, man, I wasn't even aware of driving my car.
I just
made it to work.
Yeah.
When you play quarterback in this league, you just have to know where everybody is. You have to understand what formationally, what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish, then where all five of my eligibles are going to be at all times, and what defense they're in, and where the open spots, where the gaps are, if the front side is closed, where everybody is dispersed on the backside, and where I can throw the football effectively, and then you just got to turn and you got to throw it. And it's almost one of those innate things. And if you have to think about it, what's the old saying in the National Football League? Paralysis by analysis. If you have to analyze the whole thing as opposed to just knowing it, you're always going to be a tick slow. You're always going to look and be a sight throw and go, okay, wait a minute, is it open? Okay, let me throw it. And at that point, everybody reacts and those windows close down. And that's what I think Mac Jones was great at. So if you have that ability and you can call plays in the huddle and you can command the huddle, like, it doesn't change what I do up front, what an offensive lineman does, or anybody else in your organization does. It just allows you to operate efficiently.
So, I mean, listen, we know the Dolphins made a run at Deshaun because it got reported by a legitimate guy, and Brian Flores, when asked about it, didn't even deny it. My takeaway is the Deshaun camp is fairly desperate right now. They want to make it look like everybody wants him. They want to create interest. There are six teams named, a bunch of leaks, and then Miami just said, we got to shut it down. This is a circus. That's my takeaway on what happened in Miami. What's yours?
Yeah, no, I think that ultimately, if you're the Houston Texans, you're trying to move Deshaun Watson. But at this point, I mean, he's radioactive, right? Because you have no idea what his future holds. So if you can, you know, if you can find, if you can go to the garage sale and pick up a Stradivarius for $10 and turn around and sell it for $1.6 million, you know, you've made out. So if you're the Miami Dolphins, if I can get that Stradivarius for next to nothing, great. But I am not going to pay a king's ransom. I just won't do that right now because of all the uncertainty that he is shrouded under. So I think that's where you have it. Like you're saying, hey, listen, because of what's going on, we're very interested in said player. But if you're not going to come off your asking price, then we're going to shut this down and move on with what we have right now. And I think that's, I mean, I think that's fair. I think that's the way things go. So I think it's what you have to be able to do.
Yeah. By the way, the owner, Stephen Ross of the Dolphins, reportedly said, let's stick with Tua, which sends a message to me that he doesn't want the chaos either. He's not looking for automatic this or automatic that. If I was Brian Flores, I'd feel pretty good that my owner said, no, stay with Tua. I like your plan. Don't get desperate. Because it did feel a little weird when I heard three first, 3 seconds. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down on Deshaun Watson. So it's interesting. Denver keeps getting mentioned, a place for Cam and a place for Deshaun Watson. And I was honestly really surprised that Bridgewater beat out Drew Lock, because we both know Drew's got the bigger arm. Drew's perceived as the better athlete. He's got plenty of NFL starts. He had reportedly had a good off season. He was taking in the coaching. And then they named Bridgewater, which tells me that Denver thinks, you know, we solved our cornerback issue. We're good. We just can't make mistakes. You live in Denver. What did it say going with a bridge quarterback over Drew Lock? Tell me what that says.
Well, I think you have to think about a couple of things. Number one, last year was the easiest year in the history of football to play quarterback. There was no crowd noise. There was no home field advantage. You didn't have fans in the stands. When you went to a loud stadium, you didn't have to pare out 40% of your playbook, right, and say we can't run this stuff because the noise won't allow us. There was no silent cadence. It was the highest completion percentage, the lowest interceptions in the history of the league, and Drew Lock had the most interceptions and the lowest completion percentage in football. And so, yes, did he get better? Absolutely. Is he still behind Teddy Bridgewater? There is no question. And I think you're 100% right. They look at themselves and the way they're built. I mean, they have what many would argue is the best on paper secondary in the National Football League. When you have that symbiotic relationship between coverage and pass rush ability, with Von Miller looking like the Von Miller of old, with Bradley Chubb coming back after a Pro Bowl year where he wasn't even at his best because he was coming off an ACL. Like, when you have all those things going for you, you're looking at yourself going, we got a chance to, you know, push for one of those two playoff spots that are available, one of those wild card spots. And we don't think we're doing it with Drew Lock. We think Teddy Bridgewater gives us a chance. Yes, less splash plays. We understand that. But consistency is what is the most important for us as an offense. Being able to run the ball, being able to convert on short third downs, that's what we need. And I think we get a better opportunity to do that from Teddy Bridgewater. And when you watch, and Colin, I've been to almost every practice here in Denver, when you watch the difference in pocket presence, just your awareness of protection, your awareness of where you're not protected, your ability to get from the front side to the backside quickly, your understanding of where all five eligibles are. And if you go to the last preseason game where Teddy Bridgewater wasn't great, but he put together a really nice last drive for a touchdown, where Drew Lock was bad in the pocket, took a sack, had a strip sack fumble, based on your awareness and your ability to make a decision quickly in the pocket. And I think that's what it boils down to is, yeah, we'll have less flash plays or splash plays from Teddy Bridgewater, but from a consistency standpoint, we're going to be far better, and that's going to give us a better chance to win football games.
By the way, do you have a monitor in front of you right now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I'm going to show you something. This is called Colin's Power Pyramid. It's understood in the industry as the go-to. Okay, show up. Colin's Power Pyramid. These are what I believe. I think Tampa returns everybody. Then I would go left to right. Kansas City next. Buffalo, Cleveland, Baltimore. I think they're a coin flip. Seattle, Rams, Green Bay, Colts, New England. Am I leaving anybody out? You've not seen this before. Anybody there you go. Colin, where are they at?
Seattle. I think that San Francisco, roster-wise, depending upon Jimmy G's health, is legit. And, you know, I think defensively they get Bosa back. I think Fred Warner's one of the best linebackers, one of the top guys, maybe, you know, right there with White and Tampa Bay, one of the top guys in the National Football League. I think San Francisco, I think that division with Seattle, with the Rams, San Francisco has got the potential of being really, really good. I'm still a little bit concerned, Colin, on your Indianapolis pick. Because I'm just a little I do believe Frank Wright's a great move, but I'm a little concerned about Carson Wentz's health and Carson Wentz's ability to bounce back after not only physically, but mentally a dismal season last year.
All right, good stuff. It's a power pyramid talked about around the NFL circles, very popular among us.
I have not seen it. I've heard many, many people refer to it. That was my first glance at it.
Yes, of course. Mark Schlereth with Fox Sports. All right, we got good stuff today. We get subs today. We're in a very good mood. I was in such a good mood yesterday.
You were.
Oh, it's splendid. And then I started watching a Netflix show with my wife that was fascinating.
Crime show?
Berlin, war, World War II. Not the kind of thing I watch. It was very
fascinating. Is it a documentary or is it
no,
a show?
It's a movie. It's a Netflix show. I was like,
oh, okay.
And I just told my wife, I'm like, this is not really your cup of tea or mine. World War II stuff. Fascinating.
I just started watching C on Apple TV.
S-E-A?
No, S-E-E, C, like C. Jason what? Momoa. It's like a post-apocalyptic dystopian show.
You
it's
know what?
Cool.
Have you ever noticed the Hollywood people? Everything's apocalyptic. They all think the world's going to end.
Yeah, actually, the premise of it is that there's a virus that wipes out all of Earth's population except for like 2 million people. And then it's like a couple hundred years from that, and everyone that survives can't see. So it's
Hollywood's miserable. They all think the world's going to end. You know what I'm going to be doing in 20 years? Eating Raisin Bran in the morning, playing with my dogs, having a PB&J in the afternoon, going to bed at 8:20.
Look, all I want is the flying cars.
No, I've been talking about that for.
And it's time for the teleportation because this travel thing has gotten out of control.
Teleportation.
I will sign up. I volunteer as tribute.
I don't even know what it is. I would sign up if I knew what it was.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow night, the reigning Big Ten champs kick off their season in prime time as number 4 Ohio State takes on Minnesota at 7:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
I had pot roast last night, which is remarkable because my wife's a vegan and she finally gave up on it last night. First time in 5 years my wife had beef.
It's her favorite. Love pot roast.
Oh, it was garlic mashed potatoes pot roast. Not that she still doesn't believe in many vegan principles, but last night she went with a pot roast and I watched her eat it and she was so gloriously happy.
You had to watch to make sure it was not a scam.
I just looked at her and she just smiled at me. Because when I first met her, she's an Irish girl.
Right.
So I first met her, and I grew up on the coast of Washington State. So we were a seafood family. My mom would make, my British mom made tacos on Tuesday, but mostly you got a lot of seafood. Salmons and crab and all that stuff. It was great. Great way to live. We weren't a pot roast family. And then I meet this Midwestern Irish girl, and that's everything. And then at one point she goes, I'm going to go vegan. And I'm like... You're like 3 day a week pot roast person. He's like, I'm out. And then last night it was almost romantic if it wasn't for the fact we ate 6,000 calories of pot roast.
Pot roast is so good though. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you just gotta take a break from stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Just have a little flexibility.
Doesn't mean you don't believe the principles.
Yeah, I'm not a food principle person, but yeah. Roast beef and rice was my favorite food growing up.
So good. You just pull that.
Yeah, I mean, my mom was cooking for a lot of people, so you just ate whatever was made. Yeah. It wasn't like a request situation, but yeah, it's a good
way,
it's good, like hearty.
Oh,
you know?
It just, I felt like a farmer.
Yeah,
I honestly went out and baled hay in the
feel
backyard.
Like you did like a good hard day's work. And
I felt like I should be
hot
on a
meal,
like a Ford commercial. I'm like, I eat pot roast and love my dogs. It felt so American.
You like kicked your boots off before you came in the house.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Food really does change my mood. Really
food
does.
Food is very special. Food is a very special thing. That's why I could not live a lifestyle where like the food options are limited. Like eating like plain chicken and like these like health.
No.
Bodybuilder things. Like it's remarkable to me because food is really like something that it does. It changes my mood.
I need to have a hamburger almost every week.
I have a hamburger once a week.
I have to have a hamburger every week. I can give up a lot. Coffee, dark chocolate, and a hamburger.
Got hamburger and tacos are like, if it's the food pyramid, we have Collins pyramid, Super Bowl pyramid. That's the food pyramid. So the Dolphins have not officially come out and said that they are not pursuing Deshaun Watson. But Barry Jackson tweeted yesterday, the Dolphins are pushing back on Mike Florio's report that Steve Ross really wants Deshaun Watson. Dolphins now tell local reporters that Ross does not force football decisions and, quote, believes in Tua. I believe that to be true, Barry is saying that, but it doesn't make Florio's report wrong either.
Well, I mean, Deshaun Watson is a star quarterback, so there's...
Well, this has been in the conversation for a while, basically since Deshaun Watson came on the market.
Miami was one of the first teams talked about.
Right. Now, personally, if I was the Dolphins, I would not have wanted this out. I would have come out very strongly if we knew at this point we weren't going to get him, that this is not what the plan is. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the conversations weren't had, because you don't want to come out very strongly and lie about it. But Tua is our guy. Like
Know the story was leaked from the other camp.
Yeah, of course.
There's no way Miami
value.
Wanted it out.
There's zero value in the Dolphins having this story out. Not for the fan base, not for the media, and certainly not for Tua in the locker room, which is why there's a report that Flores said to the locker room and to Tua, like, you are our guy, and this is what we're doing moving forward. And this is why I really, like, the story really bothers me, because it is... You have to be behind your young quarterback. Like, I think Tua has the potential to be really good. But you have to give him the team. You have to be behind him. You have to support him. He has to really be the guy. And for this story to come out, it's like it undermines everything that you've been building, all the momentum that you've been building on the offseason. Like, you moved Fitzpatrick out, said that Tua was the guy, and now a week before the season starts, there's a report that Deshaun Watson and that you've been inquiring about Deshaun Watson, who is a completely unknown commodity right now. Like, on the field, yes, we know what Deshaun is. Deshaun might not even be able to play.
Well, yeah, the NFL hasn't come down with their ruling.
So this isn't somebody who's like, I'm upset, and it's like, you know, if you trade for him, he's going to be able to be on the field right away, and it's like, we know what we're capable of, but we just don't know if Houston's going to move him. You don't even know if he's going to be able to play. So to take a risk on inquiring about a player like this when you have Tua at this point, right before the season starts, this is a messy situation to be in. I am on Tua's side in this situation. Like, it's got to be Tua. Even if you might pursue Deshaun in the future, with everything that's going on with Deshaun off the field and not knowing if he's going to be available.
You know, I don't understand. I would always be like this. If I was a football team, I'd say, I'll talk. If this ends up anywhere in the press, I'm out. I would always set the guidelines. I will talk to you about Deshaun Watson. I'm Chris Greer. I run the Dolphins.
Yeah, you have to talk about players.
But if it ends up, I know it's not coming from me.
Right.
If it ends up on any blog, anyone out, because I know I'm not going to talk. So when this stuff ends up, that to me is Miami not putting their foot down and saying, I don't want to hear excuses. Because you got an agent and you got a GM. The only way it gets out is if the agent talks. That's it.
I mean, or the Texans. Like, the Texans might be trying to get the most for him. They might be trying to move him. So, like, it's not coming from the Dolphins, because there's no value for it to come from the Dolphins. And look, the report is the report for a reason. Like, I believe these conversations have been had, and that's what's frustrating, because now you're in a situation where, especially for the fan base, like, Tua's our guy, and we're behind him, and they love Tua, and then all of a sudden it's like screeching brakes. Like, wait a minute. We're about to trade for Deshaun Watson? Right. Like, that's a whole just direction change, and it's I'm glad that they are now saying that they're behind Tua, because it's the right decision. So Zach Wilson was a star at BYU, and many people attributed that to his work ethic. And he thinks that his attention to detail and game day prep will help him stay ahead of the competition.
I did the same thing in college. I just felt like the process of just understanding, you know, how to get better is so important. It's one of the most important things, as far as just, you know, approaching every single day with the mentality of, how can I fix some of the mistakes I already made? You know, don't make the same mistake twice. And the end of the week, my process is, okay, now how can I give myself one to two things that's going to simplify the game for me? And it's going to tell me exactly what's going on by one thing, you know, because you sit here and you have all day to diagnose what's going on, right? But on the field, you got a couple seconds.
Yeah.
I like that he's going through the process of things. I think that a lot of these young quarterbacks are equipped with information that guys didn't have before, especially with the training that they do in the offseason. They're dealing with a lot of veterans who walk them through the processes and help them develop things that they would otherwise be learning on the go. So I do think a lot of these young quarterbacks are further ahead than guys maybe 5 or 10 years ago.
By the way, I turned with Joe Burrow. I said Joe Burrow was going to be Tony Romo. That was always my comp. And everybody turned that into hate, which is so bizarre, because I always said he's going to succeed. Tony Romo was underrated. Really, I mean, Jerry Jones said last week Tony Romo's a Hall of Famer. I said Burrow's going to be Tony Romo. You guys happen to be Brady. And yet I turned, and now I DM Joe Burrow regularly. I'm not saying I won't turn on Zach Wilson. I've said before, he's a more talented Johnny Manziel. I worry about his size running around and the dysfunction he'll have to overcome. But if I go 8 weeks, even if he's 3-5, but he's bouncing around, I'm like, I was wrong. He's way better than I thought. I'm ready.
My concern for Zach Wilson is twofold. One, I don't know where he came from. Like, the whole conversation throughout the college football season was between Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. And then all of a sudden, we're poof at the draft, and it's a consensus that Zach Wilson is above Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Which I thought was strange.
Yeah.
And then also where he landed. Like, the Jets are not a great football team. They're not run very well. It's a completely new situation, which I actually like. I like, if you're going to bring in a young quarterback, let the coach draft him, let the coach build with him, and give the coach some space to grow along with the young quarterback, so they're not running through coaches every single year like the Browns. So it's just more of the Jets going to be able to put the pieces around him to help him be successful because they're playing from behind with that organization. So the Patriots announced yesterday that Mac Jones would be the start of this season, and Belichick has been extremely impressed with him and has nothing but faith in him.
first of all, he's had a you know, high level of production. You know, but I feel like he's been able to show an ability to do things the way we want them done at a productive level. So he's young. I'm sure he'll continue to learn and grow. We'll see where that goes. But you know, that's why we drafted him. And I think he's come in and performed at a level that supports that.
I moved him up today.
I love about this situation is we've gotten to see the 2.0 of Tom Brady in Tampa in a completely different atmosphere, with completely different style of play, different coach, different environment, different culture. And now we're getting to see the Belichick after Tom Brady with a young quarterback
that looks like Brady and plays like Brady.
It's going to be really
That's going to be fascinating. It's really interesting.
I can't
wait for this year. I think this is the best year of my life for football. There's more fascinating stories than I can ever remember.
I think every single team has some interesting development.
Listen,
with
Jacksonville
this year.
Is interesting. Cincinnati
yes.
is interesting.
Yes.
Like fourth place teams, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of a team that doesn't really have, I mean, the Vikings, we kind of know what they are.
Yeah, they bore me. I'm not going to lie.
Like, I'm trying to think something with the Vikings. But pretty much every team has a really interesting storyline that we have to follow
throughout
the season.
And there's some coaches that appear so lost. That's fascinating. I think the bottom could be as bad as it's ever been.
Well, yes. Because there's a lot of just, we're just going all
listen,
in with this. Like
Houston, 0-17 is on the board. It's on the board.
Yeah, and I mean, Houston, we know that they're not going to be great, but the Deshaun Watson situation is going to be something to monitor all season.
Dude, I can smell the smoke from here. And we're like 10 states from Texas. Like, I can smell them burning right now. They're a mess.
It's not a great situation. But it's especially for the young quarterbacks. Like, we've been talking about the changing of the guard with the young guys and the older guys now. And the older guys are still playing so well that...
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I'm really excited for football.
Good
season.
Stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's not waste any time. Bruce Feldman joins us live, writer for The Athletic, multiple-time author, Fox Sports college football reporter, and this weekend, fascinating game, Bruce. LSU, a recruiting power, takes on UCLA in the Rose Bowl. The spread's a field goal, which tells me the market respects Chip Kelly. Shouldn't LSU be favored by 2 touchdowns? Explain this to me.
Remember, LSU came off 5-5 last year, right? They also have, keep in mind, 2 new coordinators, play callers on offense and defense, okay. Are really first-time play callers. Their defensive coordinator who came from the Vikings, but last time he was a play caller was at a smaller school like 10 years ago. And now he's facing Chip Kelly's offense. This, I think, and you talk about the gambling aspect of it, a lot of folks have just been waiting for the breakout. And honestly, they've had some tough matchups out of the gate the last couple of years. Now, they played a bad Hawaii team, but they blew them off the field. I think, and I've been around this team some this offseason, this is his best team by far.
The transfer portal's done them favors. They have skill. They have good running backs.
Both running backs are transfers. Britton Brown and then Zach Charbonnet from Michigan. He came back home. He's a Southern California kid. Looked terrific last week. Their best defensive player, Quantrez Knight, is a safety. He's actually a 2-time transfer. They have a bunch of guys who have really thrived in a new atmosphere. And I think the biggest thing is, what kind of wrinkles formationally is Chip Kelly going to throw at LSU? LSU's really talented. This is the most talented team UCLA will see all season. But the timing is a little bit delicate for them. They've played a game. LSU hasn't. Obviously, LSU is dealing with some, you know, has been dealing with some real world issues in terms of getting displaced, and now they've been in Houston all week because of the hurricane that swept through there.
Very good point. And UCLA, I'll tell you what, bunch of good tight ends too. They're going to make it very interesting. Let's shift gears to Harbaugh. Make or break season for the Wolverines head coach, in your opinion?
It is, but I think there's something to keep an eye on with them. The hardest thing for him is he had a pretty decent start the first few years, and then honestly, at the end of 2018, it just kind of, you know, fell apart, and then it's been sputtering since then. I think he's had a hard time establishing an identity there, which is curious because he was always Mr. Physical Football, right? Tight ends, fullbacks, that's him. And he's kind of, it seems like they've kind of lost their way with that. And obviously they've struggled on the back end, especially, you know, cornerback play has been really shaky. It's been exposed by Ohio State, which honestly, Ohio State has better players out there, especially on the outside. But so now he flipped his staff. He went much younger, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I'm interested to see. They open with four games in a row out of the gate, all at home. One of the toughest one is probably with Washington coming in there. This isn't a great Washington team. Michigan should win that game. If they do, I think they're starting out 4-0. They have a chance to get some momentum. And then Wisconsin comes in there. Wisconsin, who has absolutely smoked them the last couple of years. And Wisconsin has the identity that I think Jim Harbaugh really wish they
had. Big up front.
Big, physical, tough teams. They put your nose in it. The way that game shapes up, now it's on the road, it's in Madison, but that Notre Dame, that game for Wisconsin is coming off a week after a physical Notre Dame game. So
that plays to Michigan's
favor.
Yes.
It could. So don't write off Jim Harbaugh just yet.
Oh, good. All right. Ohio State, Clemson, Bama. We're going to get these young star quarterbacks. Ohio State has a new quarterback. Alabama does. Now, Alabama's kid's Bryce Young. He is, his feet, I saw some tape on him. I watched him in high school a little bit. He is exciting. Like, he looks, Bryce Young looks the part for Alabama.
No doubt. I mean, he's from Leinart's alma mater, modern day. They crank out elite quarterbacks. And I think he goes into a situation, you know, he had a little time in the system, but obviously now Sark's not coaching quarterbacks. Now Bill O'Brien's running the show. They lost five first-round picks, including Mac Jones, on that side of the ball alone. The plus is he still has a really good offensive line around him. Evan Neal is the best offensive lineman in the country at left tackle. John Mechie's a good receiver. And they always, Saban's always found talent there. Yeah. The other two young quarterbacks you mentioned, DJ Uiagalelei at Clemson, who did play some last year when Trevor Lawrence was out. He's a huge guy, big arm, great receivers around him. And then CJ Stroud, also, by the way, all three quarterbacks are Southern California kids. At Ohio State, the thing that I think is really his skill talent is probably better than any of the other two guys at Ohio State. Best receiver room in the country and three big-time backs. Watch out for CJ Stroud to put up some huge numbers.
All right, Texas, Oklahoma moved to the SEC. I think Oklahoma will flourish. I'm not sure about Texas. Your thoughts about the Horns moving to the that's quite a family to join out in the South.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big jump. If Sark cannot get them going, because right now, the team that was sputtering in the Big 12, they would get pushed around.
Seventh
so
best
much
team
worse.
In the SEC.
Yeah. The bright side for Sark, he inherits a great running back in Bijan Robinson. He might be the best running back in the country. And one thing to keep in mind with Sark, everywhere he's been the play caller, he's always had a 1,000-yard back. And I think when you see this guy, they can build around. And I know the coaches inside that program are really, really buzzing about the new quarterback they have, Hudson Card. He's got really good feet. And the coaches I talk to inside the Texas program say he's got some Aaron Rodgers in his game. That's high praise. They think that kid is not only the future, he is the present. And they think within maybe by 2022, this team could be a top 10 team.
I'm going to say a conference. You give me the top two teams quickly. SEC.
I got to go Alabama, Georgia.
Pac-12.
Oregon, maybe UCLA.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Big Ten.
Big Ten, Ohio State, and either Wisconsin or Iowa. I'm torn. I think Iowa's really good.
Big 12.
Iowa State and Oklahoma.
ACC.
Clemson and Miami. I know people have UNC at 10. They lost a lot of really good guys around Sam Howell. I think Miami is maybe a little, you know, they're going to have a rough go against Alabama this weekend. But I think that Manny Diaz and Rhett Lashley, the offense coordinator, have done a really good job upgrading what had been a really bad offense for a long time there.
Boy, you made compelling arguments on UCLA. I saw that. I was like a wolf around a lamb chop. I saw LSU only giving up three. And you make really good points. Is that they have a game, and they're I can't wait to watch that because you know Chip Kelly. He's going to guy. He knows he can't match up physically. It's going to be tricks.
But this is his best chance because he's got a lot of three-year starters on the offensive line. And the first game that they played against USC, Chip Kelly ran for almost like his team ran for almost 400 yards. Joshua Kelly had like 300. And they had – it was just poor Clancy Pendergast, who, by the way, is now an assistant on the UCLA staff. Clancy Pendergast was the USC defense coordinator. They just did not have answers for it. And that was what made him so dangerous at Oregon – was I think that whatever it was great counterpunching what they did. Now they had way better speed at Oregon than this UCLA team does, but watch out for Zach Charbonnet. I think he is going to be a really special back for them in this offense.
Yeah, the transfer portal has done UCLA favors. They went and got two really, really special backs. Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, Buckeyes, Golden Gophers, Thursday, Fox. Great stuff as always. Hour 3, Andy Reid coming up next.